a ghost or madman. Although people called him such names, he remained silent and did not speak to anyone. And be satisfied with the Supreme Personality of Godhead on whom he meditates. In other words, one who has surpassed the rules and regulations of Varnashram Dharma is called Avadhuta. Such a person has already surpassed the clutches of Maya, and he lives completely separate and independent. So here, Lord Rishabhdev is giving us all a perfect example of someone who is perfectly advanced, absorbed in his spiritual life, and totally detached from his material environment and his material body. Avadhuta means one who is completely beyond the bodily concept of life, and he's not following the, as described here, the conventions of Varnashram Dharma. doesn't seem to be a sadhaka. But he's fully absorbed in his own personal relationship with the Lord. And we're going to read through a few verses, and his example is there, a very extreme example of one who's so much advanced. He's consciously situated in a different situation. He's not affected by his environment, by his bodily situation. it's described as a spiritual strength and a spiritual influence that allows someone like this not to be affected, to be actually aloof. So, and a little warning, to any of us who are, sometimes we may like to take up a little role of Avadhuta or be really aloof. But we're far, far away from that position, and we should appreciate how much advancement we have to go and appreciate the process of sadhana bhakti that's being given. Prabhupada said, such a person has already surpassed the clutches of Maya and lives completely separate and independent. So as long as we haven't come to this stage, we're completely dependent. Either we're under the influence of Maya, the three modes of material nature, or we take the opportunity and the privilege of having that perfect guidance and a very straightforward path of sadhana bhakti to take shelter of. As we were hearing, the jivatma is tatastha shakti, he's marginal, so he's either under the influence of the superior energy of the Lord, the internal energy, engaged in his eternal relationship with Krishna and protected from any material energy. Or he's under the influence of material energy, being pushed around by the modes of nature, or the waves of, as described, Narottam Das Thakur describes, Niche Maya Ravashe Metrobeshe Kachahabayubai. So we're being tossed around like in an ocean by the waves of material energy. But if one takes up his transcendental position, Chief Krishna Das, Avishwas, Korlato, Ardukanai, then he can be happily situated, absorbed in Krishna consciousness. And be, even though he's still in the ocean, he can be unaffected by the tossing of the waves. Just like a person on a boat, they say, one who works, that's his occupation, they say he gets his sea legs. That means he's always being bounced here and there, but it's just the mode of life. He's accustomed to it. And he just adjusts and accepts that that's the way, that's his environment. So Krishna describes in Bhagavad Gita, Daivihiyesha Gunamayima Mamaya Dharatyaya, that the material energy, consisting of the three modes of material nature, very difficult, Dharatyaya, impossible to overcome. He who surrenders unto me can easily cross beyond it. So, after some, as Prabhupada said, my students come and they practice sadhana bhakti. They practice bhakti for, he said, for a long time. Then, after a long time, they actually start practicing bhakti. So it takes some time. We'll be very lucky if we come to that platform in this lifetime. So the example of someone who is completely transcendentally situated is very wonderful. And the activities of a transcendentally situated person are equally as important for us as the words, it seems. Although the words are intended to bring us to that platform, but to bring us, to convince our intelligence and bring us to the platform of a very a very good follower, a very good practitioner. And then by practice, we'll come to that a stage of realization by Krishna's grace. As he says, Mancha Yogya Vicharana Bhakti Yogya Sevite Sagunan Samati Chaitanya Brahma Bhuyaya Kalpate. So, by practicing uninterrupted bhakti, sadhana bhakti, then we transcend the modes of material nature. Come to the spiritual platform. So, I'd like to read a couple more verses. These are long descriptive verses of the activities of Lord Rishabhdev. After he left home, he left his Bharat to take over the kingdom. And he's just taking to the fully renounced, detached life. So the next verse. Rishabhdev began to tour through cities, villages, mines, countrysides, valleys, gardens, military camps, cow pens, the homes of cowherd men, transient hotels, hills, forests, and hermitages. Wherever he traveled, all bad elements surrounded him, just as flies surround the body of an elephant coming from a forest. He was always being threatened, beaten, urinated upon, and spat upon. Sometimes people threw stones, stool, and dust at him, and sometimes people passed foul air before him. Thus people called him many bad names and gave him a great deal of trouble. But he did not care about this, for he understood that the body is simply meant for such an end. He was situated on the spiritual platform, and being in his spiritual glory, he did not care for all these material insults. In other words, he completely understood that matter and spirit are separate, and he had no bodily conception. Thus, without being angry at anyone, he walked through the whole world alone. I'm sure Prabhupada gives a report here. Narottam Das Thakur says, Deha Smriti Nahi Yar Samsara Bandhana Kahantar. When a person fully realizes that the material body and world are temporary, he is not concerned with pain and pleasures of the body. So, great realization that this body and material world, our environment around us, all temporary. But I'm an eternal spirit soul, so I'm just here temporarily in this situation. And there'll be some seemingly enjoyment and some distress. I just have to. But it's not my business to get absorbed in either the happiness or distress, but to get absorbed in the eternal situation. Then we're not hankering and lamenting. We just cut off that material, that process that is connected with a temporary body and the material world. Looking for reality or looking for happiness in matter and thinking that matter, beginning with this body, is reality. And then we have the information that descending, we have transcendental subject matter to fix our mind on. And sadhana bhakti and temple life is an opportunity to absorb the senses, the mind and the senses, in spiritual activity. So it's a wonderful opportunity to practice detachment. As Rishabhdev was fully realized that matter and spirit are separate, and I'm not matter, I'm not part of this. So he was, because of his transcendental position, he was absorbed, spiritually absorbed. Shaktiyavesh, he was empowered. He was showing an example, he was teaching, he was showing an example of someone who's completely detached from material life and absorbed. It's not just artificial renunciation. But nothing could bother him. So he was able to travel like this and accept all this abuse by envious persons and not be bothered. So Prabhupada continues in this purport, as Sri Krishna advises in Bhagavad Gita 2.14, Matra Sparshas Tukanteya Chitoshna Sukadukada Agamapayana Nityastan Ustitiksha Shvabharata. O son of Kunti, the non-permanent appearance of happiness and distress and their disappearance in due course are like the appearance and disappearance of winter and summer seasons. They arise from sense perception, O Sina Bharat, and one must learn to tolerate them without being disturbed. Just like we're all living in this wonderful environment in Chicago, and we're getting very intense winter seasons, and then very cold and bitter, and then summer's coming, and very hot, and so we see them, and then in between, sometimes nice, and a lot of times we're tolerating the conditions. So we see that we just learn to tolerate it. We know it's going to change. The other season will come. So similarly, the temporary appearance and disappearance of the pleasures and pains of the body are coming and going. But we are the constant, conscious, living entity within the body. Prabhupada continues, as far as Rishabhdev is concerned, it has already been explained. Idam shariram mama duravi bhavyam. He did not at all possess a material body, and therefore he was tolerant of all the trouble offered to him by the bad elements in society. Consequently, he could tolerate people's throwing stool and dust upon him and beating him. His body was transcendental and consequently did not at all suffer pain. He was always situated in his spiritual bliss. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 18:61, Ishvara sarvabhutanam hridayeshe arjuna tishtati brahmayan sarvabhutani jantrarudhani mayaya. The Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna, and is directing the wanderings of all living entities, who are seated as on a machine made of the material energy. Since the Lord is situated in everyone's heart, he is in the heart of hogs and dogs also. If hogs and dogs in their material bodies live in filthy places, one should not think that the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his Paramatma feature also lives in a filthy place. Although Rishabhdev was maltreated by the bad elements of the world, he was not at all affected. Therefore, it is said here, Sva Mahima Avastanena. He was situated in his own glory. He was never saddened due to being insulted in the many ways described above. So the glory of the soul is to be fully realized, fully connected with Krishna. Experiencing the the happiness of being in contact with the Lord, being the loving relationship. So we see even in this world, people are very steady and tolerant and enlivened if there is some kind of loving relationship, dynamic relationship. So this is another nice example or proof that we're a transcendental personality, that the soul is a personality, and our real need is personal relationship, loving relationship, not just a combination of material elements. We even see that in other species of life, animal kingdom. Plants respond to loving attention. So, but a fully Krishna conscious person is very, very different in that he's so strongly detached. You know, I was thinking how Srila Prabhupada showed us that example, especially, I mean, throughout his whole life. You see the picture, just upstairs is one picture of Prabhupada. He's early first year in New York, coming to this country, just walking walking on the street alone. He described how he didn't know whether to turn left or right. And he said, I was alone, but I never felt alone. I always felt the presence of my Guru Maharaj and Krishna. So Prabhupada had that connection, that relationship of devotional relationship and a mission to carry out. So he was always absorbed in praying and communicating with Guru and Krishna. And so he just tolerated all the troubles. Shastra explains that there are two kinds of spiritually perfected, elevated persons. Bhajananandi and Gosyanandi. So Rishabhdev was internally absorbed. He is called Bhajananandi in his own relationship, gloriously absorbed, totally detached, and just tolerating everything. So this is Bhajananandi. Even in the world, he wasn't aloof in a bhajan kutir, but this is how strong he was. He was just walking, wandering everywhere like a dumb, deaf person. But then there's the Gosyanandi, another amazingly, he's also traveling all over the world, Srila Prabhupada's example, Parivartaka Acharya. And he's teaching, he's distributing Krishna consciousness. And yet one can see that he's also internally absorbed. So that was Prabhupada's example, that he came to this country with nothing, with his mission, a few books, and he learned, he observed the Western people, big city of New York, learned so much about how they're thinking and acting and how degraded they were. And he applied, he taught the process of Krishna Bhakti and Lord Chaitanya's teachings, and establish the movement. And I was just appreciating how he's such an elevated person. He comes, as described, the Uttava Bhakta comes down to the Madhyama platform, and he's distinguishing between all these different types of persons. He's managing the material energy. How much Srila Prabhupada did to establish this movement and continually traveling till his body was quite dysfunctional. He was practically being carried. And then in the last days, absorbed in explaining Srimad Bhagavatam. The doctor said that any man in that condition, he hadn't taken any solid food in 6 months, so he was just kind of skin and bones. So the skin was pressing on the nerves, on the bones. The doctor said any man would be in such tremendous pain, he could not even, he would be screaming or not able to tolerate it. But Prabhupada was going on, totally absorbed internally, sometimes interacting with his disciples, always concerned, still managing, trying to manage, guide devotees, and then fully deep, same realizations, no interruption, commenting on the Srimad Bhagavatam till his last day, practically. So we have a living example of somebody who was on that platform. And as the term here, he was situated in his own glory. So this is a worshipful position of a devotee who is as good as God. He can guide us, we can fully trust and follow him. That example. I think we could read one more verse here. Lord Vishabhdev's hands, feet, and chest were very long. His shoulders, face, and limbs were all very delicate and symmetrically proportioned. His mouth was beautifully decorated with his natural smile, and he appeared all the more lovely with his reddish eyes spread wide like the petals of a newly grown lotus flower covered with dew in the early morning. The irises of his eyes were so pleasing that they removed all the troubles of everyone who saw him. His forehead, ears, neck, nose, and all his other features were very beautiful. His gentle smile always made his face beautiful, so much so that he even attracted the hearts of married women. It was as though they had been pierced by the arrows of Cupid. About his head was an abundance of curly, matted brown hair. His hair was disheveled because his body was dirty and not taken care of. He appeared as if he were haunted by a ghost. Purport. Although Lord Vrishabhdev's body was very much neglected, his transcendental features were so attractive that even married women were attracted to him. His beauty and dirtiness combined to make his beautiful body appear as though it were haunted by a ghost. So interesting combination here. Spiritual beauty coming through, and his manifested body was wonderful. But because of his neglect of the body, he's looking like someone haunted by a ghost. And beautiful features coming through because he was empowered by the Lord. Very, very attractive. So, any discussion, comments? Richard first.
Hare Krishna. I wanted to know about another kid mentioned in class, Samadhi or the Highway. Samadhi or the Highway, there's a class that it was like a year ago or so. And in it, you mentioned about different durations of time being absorbed in Krishna, undeviating samadhi being the goal of life. And I was thinking about this in terms of being able to, and it seems like it's one of the same, that we might get at an elevated level, we might get some level of samadhi. But then we come back around and choke up on the way. So, do you think it's one and the same to be in constant remembrance and be in attitude? Like what you were saying? I don't know what's going
on. I pointed out, I understand your question probably. Is it the same thing to be in samadhi and be abhidhuta? Well, there are two things. The samadhi means that one is it's not a mechanical thing that we are fixing our mind on Krishna. Krishna is revealing himself to one in the higher, the real stage of samadhi. He's fully absorbed in his spiritual relationship. It's not a matter of okay, now I'm going to engage in my japa, my meditation, whatever. So real samadhi is that one is internally absorbed by the Lord's own revelation to him, by his own fixed condition in his, he's fully liberated. He's in his own swarup, his own condition of spiritual life. So, and as we were pointing out, there are two things. One could be avatuta, not following any rules and regulations and be fully absorbed, or avatuta, or I don't know if I'm equating this properly, but bhajananandi, just absorbed in its own bhajan. Traveling and preaching, like Srila Prabhupada did, like our Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas did, the six Goswamis did, eternal associates of the Lord, Rupa Goswami, his Rupa Manjari. And at times he would, different of the Goswamis and others, show that they were experiencing their internal relationships with Krishna. They would enter into, deep, deep samadhi. But their service was externally preaching Krishna consciousness, writing the bhakti shastras and distributing, and teaching kirtan, wonderful kirtan, and encouraging so many devotees. They were teaching and enlivening a bigger body of Vaishnavas who, as a team, as a transcendental army, they were spreading Krishna consciousness all over the Indian continent for the service of Lord Chaitanya. So, avadhuta is one manifestation.
Do you mind if I ask what's happening here with that? In relationship to our a question on that in relationship to our ISKCON. It seems that we were encouraged to be the ghost to humanity.
Mm-hmm.
And is there a place for someone that is absorbed reading by the scriptures, but is it not because it's coming from under Srila Prabhupada's ultimately, it's not really something that he encouraged,
does it seem? Like we're saying that, anyway, that avadhuta means, it's not something that we, avadhuta means that one is very highly advanced. Otherwise, it's artificial, it's pretender. It just causes a disruption to the society. There's a verse, unless describes, unless one is following the injunctions of Shuti Smriti Puranadi Pancharatra Vikinina Aikantiki Hare Bhaktir Uputta Yaiva Kalpate. Unless one is under the following the directions of Shuti Smriti Puranas, then his activities are just a disturbance to society. So this is, avadhuta is unusual. It's not the standard. And Lord Chaitanya himself made the request that, he said, I order everyone to accept this Krishna consciousness movement and spread it everywhere. So if we really understand the mission of Lord Chaitanya, and the teachings of our predecessor acharyas, then if we really want to please the Lord, then we'll take up the mode of distributing Krishna consciousness through Harinam Sankirtan, through distributing literatures, whatever preaching activities we can do.
I had no idea Prabhupada had no solid food for that 6 months of his life. I knew ill. And I've seen that video footage, but I had him on for 6 months, so that's really quite remarkable.
Yeah. Well, we heard sometimes a strawberry. Do you call that salvage food?
My question is, so, like, you're hearing about Rishabha's austerities, you know, the kind of, I guess austerity is not the right word, the treatment he was dealt with by people, and because he was fully self-realized, it didn't even disturb him. And I was thinking that in a personal way that, okay, so we also get, you know, things coming at us, but we don't get people things to at us, but, you know, for us, even a small criticism is...
You say the wrong thing.
Yeah, it's at school, you know. So, but we have to honor the remain satisfied, but we're not very advanced spiritually. So I was wondering if you could shed some light on how does a sadhaka who doesn't have such profound taste for Krishna consciousness remain steady and satisfied amidst the little disturbances? We've heard we should learn to tolerate. I wonder if there's anything else that's really just tolerate.
Rupa Goswami teaches, right, the necessary enthusiasm, patience, tolerance. But this is this is not artificial, right? You have to have something. So, my first response would be loving relationships amongst devotees, service, serving Vaishnavas, and if we're applying ourselves nicely to the sadhana process, then if we actually chant attentively 16 rounds of the Maha Mantra, then that should put us on a different platform. I remember when I began Krishna consciousness, started officially, I was quite a reclusive person, and I was actually afraid of going out on the street or distributing books or hiding out. But, and then I started, and it was a challenge, but every morning I was thinking, oh no, I have to go out. But I remember I was very seriously taking shelter of chanting 16 rounds, Maha Mantra, and after that, I just kind of lost all my, what's the word? Inhibitions, my defenses, and my worries about that. Your question again was, how do we deal? Not to be disturbed. That little external things are even with our own mind. I think that's a real, it's a valid point that if we have, and I see it here because there are some very nice, loving and friendly relationships amongst devotees. People are maintaining their enthusiasm and they're tolerating the ups and downs. And Upadeshamrita, you know, is giving that. That's loving exchanges amongst devotees. Accepting. Giving prasadam, accepting prasadam, giving and accepting gifts, revealing one's mind in confidence and also hearing from others. Symptoms of love between devotees. So that, concentrate on our sadhana and nice, loving interactions amongst devotees. And try for the, you know, to do whatever service is recommended. Try for unmotivated, try to practice the unmotivated, uninterrupted devotional service, whatever is needed. Prabhupada, I heard Prabhupada say once that, if I say that I would like to serve Krishna, my Lord, please let engage me in service like this, you know, with some condition. He said, this will not help us at all. I mean, he was giving a, you know, very higher. So this unconditional service attitude, even though it may be a little abrasive on our mind at first, it will purify us very quickly. Is that okay?
I was just thinking how there's material tolerance and then there's spiritual tolerance. So when we don't have yet a higher taste, when we're not situated in on some kind of platform of spiritual realization, then we're forced to practice material tolerance, which is usually like grin and bear it, you know. So we go out, say, in the public for some kind of program or distribution or people, there's police bothering us, there's difficult weather, whatever it is, and we often have to just practice tolerating, understanding that this is just, you know, the modes of nature. But it's hard to tolerate, it's kind of painful to tolerate, so it kind of forces us to realize that, wow, I'm not anywhere spiritually. I gotta, like, take shelter so that tolerance comes from a spiritual place. So the Abhidhamma, he's tolerating, not because he's practicing grin and bear it really expertly, but because he actually, his consciousness is situated somewhere else, so it's practically like he doesn't even notice it. You know, like we don't notice ourselves breathing, it just happens automatically. So for an Abhidhamma, he doesn't notice, oh, that it's freezing cold out here, so I should put on really thick clothing, or it's really hot out here, so I should carry an umbrella, or people are nasty to me, so I should turn away, or he's actually just not noticing those things because it's so on a different platform. So that's a different type of tolerance than we're practicing. So we're kind of still stuck on a material tolerance platform, but it's painful and it should drive us to want to pursue a higher taste of
situated on a spiritual platform. Just add something that I think we always have an opportunity to realize the shelter of even sadhana bhakti, whether it's our japa, some service, or we're out on the streets and trying to tolerate the situation. We actually take shelter instead of struggling with the mind that's rejecting something, some material situation. If we actually take shelter of the kirtan or our japa, or just pray to the Lord to be absorbed in our service when the mind doesn't want to or the body doesn't want to, quite often, there's full possibility that we can, you know, realize the Krishna's reciprocation, that we're absorbed, we feel some shelter. We're not disturbed. That's your initiative.
Thank you. I have a question on the text. It seems to be explaining that the reason Rishabdev was not affected by these material insults was that he was off the bodily platform, in the spiritual platform, situated in his own glory. He did not, he completely understood the body and spirit were separate. And then the Purport Prabhupada saying that he did not possess a material body at all, therefore he was able to tolerate because it was a spiritual body.
Mm-hmm.
So I was wondering, is his body completely spiritual in the sense that one has an eternal spiritual body? Or his body became spiritualized, or I'm curious about the constitution of that. And then also, his spiritual master's body is also considered fully spiritual. But that's different than their spiritual, maybe different than their spiritual
eternal
form.
Yeah, eternal spirit. Yeah. Well, our understanding is that a pure devotee, or in this case, there's Rishabdev, Shaptadesh Avatar. Prabhupada has been identified by advanced persons as Shaptadesh also. So someone who is so empowered, he's in this world just to do, he has a mission, he has a certain empowered service he's doing on behalf of the Lord. So in that way he's as good as God. But so because his consciousness is pure and his activities are on the spiritual platform, his body is considered fully spiritualized. Therefore it's not controlled by the modes of material nature like our bodies are. Or there's a protection. We may see, it looks like, effects of the material nature. Like it will get old and diseased. But the soul, of that advanced soul, is not... He's aloof. How do we describe? It's a spiritual... strength. Prabhupada says bala. Balaram is giving us a strength to actually be detached. We can intellectually talk about it, but it's another thing to have some realization. So we should be trying, we should be hoping for that realization. We need it to enthusiastically work, engage in our service in this world. Prabhupada said that our motto should be to work hard for God, work now, samadhi later. So we can see how, because we're in so much in the bodily concept of life, it's hard to uninterruptedly engage, keep this body and mind going on in our service. Sometimes we just... we have to bail out, we have to take a break, so to speak, or we're struggling, right? So it's the Lord's empowerment that gives us strength to overcome the pulling, and how the body can pull us down. The body and conditioned mind can try to bring us back and absorbed in material energy instead of absorbed in spiritual energy. So, someone who's on that platform, his body is spiritualized. It's iron put in the fire, becomes like fire.
Yeah, I guess I was just curious, I guess particularly in the context of how the Lord Nityananda comes to mind, and the idea in Lord Rishabdev is that because his consciousness was completely somewhere else, he was indifferent to what was going on to his body. So, one question that concept I'm trying to understand is when the Lord descends, he descends in a sattva-chitta form. So that's a spiritual form, yet they're interacting in the realm of the so-called material world, perhaps with others whose bodily constitution may be different. So Lord Nityananda, he's an avadut, and his consciousness is absorbed, but that is his eternal spiritual form. So his consciousness is absorbed in somewhere else, which kind of get absorbed somewhere else, but that is also his eternal spiritual form. So it's just an interesting phenomenon, I guess.
Yeah. Chintya Beta Beta Tattva. Just looking at one thing. Prabhupada said, that he was fully independent. So it's described when we actually. A soul enters into the his spiritual, his swarup, his spiritual condition. He actually becomes independent. He's not under the influence of modes of nature, or being pushed by any false ego or conditioned state of mind. And that's his glory, the true glory, is that he's freed from this material world. That's natural. We're in an unnatural situation. And so we have to become under the laws of the material world. We're as in a spiritual society, Vedic society, or Vaishnava society, we follow certain rules and regulations. Even if we're advanced, even the pure devotee comes, he follows certain rules and regulations, at least to teach others. That's standard. There's certain dharmas, street dharma, and, you know, men's dharma, you know, the way to dress and act. But if one is actually completely liberated and absorbed in his spiritual life, and he's not under the influence, he doesn't have to follow these rules and regulations. It's a challenge because we don't know, the conditioned soul doesn't know how to respond to that. It's not an example to follow. If we try to follow it, we get bewildered. Okay. Time's late. Is that right? Anything else? Thank you. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.